What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy? By Booktopus. Chapter 1. On Thursday afternoons, Harry had no lectures. Smarter, more organized professors might have taken that time to grade assignments or prepare for future classes. But Harry just wasn't that person. He had long accepted that it was in his nature to leave most things to the last minute. Besides, nothing was ever late, so it wasn't that bad. Instead, Harry typically hung about the school during this time. He would have tea with Headmistress McGonagall, or stop by Neville's greenhouses, or even trudge down to Charlie's hut and try to get a glimpse of whatever new magical creature he'd wrangled that week. But most often, Harry would spend time in the potions classroom and watch Draco teach. Sometimes he would assist or help out a student who was falling behind. He had gotten quite proficient at potions over the years of hanging about in Draco's classroom. But what Harry enjoyed most was when the students were deep in the practical portion of the class, and he and Draco could sit and chat. The year that they were both hired was the year that the former astronomy tower was finally being rebuilt. Astronomy classes had been held in a new tower since the war. The old tower was barely hanging on, and McGonagall had saved it for last in the castle's renovations. As such, Harry and Draco were both given free rein to design their new, state-of-the-art classrooms to suit their needs and teaching styles. Draco had done a complete overhaul from the potions classroom of their school days. His room was light and bright, with floor-to-ceiling windows, his desk up on a platform, with a large chalkboard so that all of the students could see. Cupboards ran the length of the far wall, full of tools and extra supplies in case a student might need them. Ingredients were stored in a temperature-controlled room that only opened for Draco and the headmistress, to prevent any scheming students. The large two-person stations were completely conducive to brewing, clear space dedicated for textbooks, and insets for cauldrons to avoid any spills. In the 7 years since they joined the staff, Harry had learned to enjoy a version of Draco Malfoy much different from the boy he'd known. A few weeks after Harry had received notice from McGonagall that he'd gotten the DADA job, he'd received a second letter from Draco. In it, Draco had explained that he would also be joining the staff as the potions professor, and sincerely hoped that they would be able to put aside their past differences. He had apologized for, well, everything. Taking the dark mark and setting the snake on Harry in dueling club. Every rude thing he'd ever spoken about Harry's parents and friends. This new Draco did things like that. Apologize. He was patient with his students in the classroom, and Harry knew that many of them would come to him with their personal problems as well. He could admit when he was wrong. The two of them had fallen back into old habits and squabbled more than a few times. The difference was that both were always willing to admit when they were wrong. Draco was direct and confident in himself, but he had lost the haughtiness and arrogance of his youth. He had spent the years that had elapsed between their final year at Hogwarts and being hired on a journey of personal growth. He'd earned his potions mastery in France and had come back to England, rebuilding bridges and playing the role of philanthropist while he waited for someone to take a chance on him. He'd even started calling Harry by his first name on occasion. Harry spent those years working on himself as well. He took time to figure out who he was when he wasn't constantly at war, with the help of an exceptional mind healer. He had dutifully enrolled in aura training, only to drop out a year later. He traveled through Europe, often settling for a few months, usually engaging in some sort of romantic tryst or another, before moving along. He came out of the closet as pansexual on National Coming Out Day in 2002, to a roar of both positive and negative press, which he mostly ignored, in favor of snogging his non-binary partner, Orion, every chance he could get. The 7 years that he'd been at Hogwarts had certainly been at a different pace. He appreciated both the steady, dependable timetables of each semester, and the exciting, unpredictable nature of teaching children. He hadn't dated much. His last relationship ended on a sour note when he'd found his partner had been cheating on him with their ex-lover. It wasn't that he wasn't happy for them. He just wished they'd ended things before he'd gotten in so deep. Harry was hardly lonely. He was surrounded by colleagues who he now considered friends, and made it a point to regularly attend pub nights in Diagon to see his other friends. Besides, who needed to date when you could, instead, harbor a major crush on one of your friends for years? He'd realized that he was into Draco during the Yule Ball held during their first year as professors. They had both been roped into chaperoning, and Harry's complaints faded away the moment that Draco had stepped out of his quarters. Harry had never seen someone pull off a set of dress robes quite so well, the deep navy color bringing out a hint of blue in Draco's gray eyes. When Harry finally got up the nerve at the end of the night to ask Draco to dance with him, Draco's eyes had flickered in amusement. He may have only allowed a small quirk of his mouth, but Harry could see the smile dancing in his eyes. Draco nodded, grabbing Harry's hand and proceeding to lead him around the dance floor, much to the entertainment of the students watching. The butterflies had twirled around Harry's insides for days afterward, with the memory of Draco's warm hand on his waist. Unfortunately, the opportunity to get his hands on Draco were few and far between, but they had become good friends, and Harry appreciated any time they spent together. He'd learned quickly that Draco was a bit of a flirt, but Harry couldn't help getting a little flustered whenever Draco would tease him, imagining for a moment that maybe Draco liked him in return. Besides, the taunts definitely didn't carry any of the venom from their teenage years, and Harry loved seeing the twinkle in Draco's eye when he tripped Harry up. Harry kept the memory of that dance in his heart, nurturing the flame that lived there, loving each day they spent together, even if it wasn't all he wanted it to be. "What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy?" By Booktopus. Chapter 2. The afternoon of October 11th, 2012, started out the same as any other. Harry made himself busy for an hour or so after lunch before giving in and letting his feet make their way to Draco's classroom. He slipped in and sat at the large empty station at the back that he'd slowly commandeered over the years. Draco maintained that it was for tutoring, but Harry had a feeling he was the only one who ever used it. Draco was finishing up his lecture on brewing shrinking solution with his third-year students. "Remember, juice the shrivel figs after you peel them. Don't throw them in whole. And keep an eye on the amount of cowbane that you add and the pace at which it is added. As you'll recall, I recommend that you use the dropper in the bottle to limit the amount of liquid you're handling instead of pouring directly from the bottle. This is our first time working with such a volatile ingredient, but I trust you all to show the utmost caution and respect for what you're doing. Now, have at it." Organized chaos reigned for a moment, as many of the students stood and raced to get their ingredients, slowing down once Draco shot them a stern look. Harry grinned, knowing that the students had a healthy fear of their potions professor. He made his way to the front of the room, barely avoiding a collision with Alicia Rogers, who was counting daisy roots instead of paying attention to her surroundings.
"Sorry, Professor Potter," she shouted over her shoulder without looking up from her count,
and he waved her off as he joined Draco at the front. "Professor Malfoy?" he nodded, the grin still spread across his face.
"Professor Potter, glad to see you're here to interrupt my classes once again," Draco replied with a smirk.
"Wouldn't miss it for the world," Harry said. Draco huffed.
"Well, are you just going to stand there, or would you like to join me in making some rounds to ensure that these children do not blow up our tower?"
"After you." Harry extended an arm, and Draco brushed past him, the edges of his robes grazing Harry's fingers lightly. Draco was immaculately put together, as always. He seemed unable to ever fully relax, at least not in terms of his dress. Harry had never seen him with his sleeves rolled up or with the top button of his shirt undone. He never swam in the lake, and on the occasions that he joined a pickup Quidditch match or helped out during his house's training sessions, he never showered in the staff locker room. Harry often wondered if Draco treated his clothes as a suit of armor, a reminder to never let his guard down. He also imagined that the Dark Mark might have something to do with it, though he had no idea what form it took today. It had been nearly half their lives since Draco had knelt, unwilling and terrified, in front of Voldemort to be branded. Harry trailed Draco around the classroom, saying hello to some of their students and watching Draco interact with them, making small adjustments or complimenting them on their progress. Eventually, apparently satisfied, Draco settled against the countertops that ran the length of one side of his classroom furthest from the door. Harry followed.
"I'd like to keep an eye on Fitzwilde," Draco explained. "A combination of clumsy and impatient does not make for a good potion student."
Harry nodded as they watched the student in question, who was indeed bumbling about a bit. His partner was doing their best to stick to the instructions and slow him down, but the kid was a spitfire. He was great in Harry's classroom. His clumsy nature didn't extend to his wand work. Plus, he was enthusiastic, picking up on the defense lessons quickly.
"How was your meeting with McGonagall last night?"
Draco asked, relaxing a bit now that things were underway in the classroom. He was cleaning the glasses that he wore to teach. Draco claimed they were just for safety, but Harry had a feeling that they functioned as readers, too, having caught him wearing them while grading more than a few times.
"We missed you for drinks."
"It was great, actually. She loved my idea of the aura preparation course for the 6th and 7th years. We talked about it for much longer than I anticipated. I'm going to fire call Head Aura Robards to get his input tomorrow, and hopefully set up a meeting to discuss further. I definitely want to have some aspect of mental preparedness as well. I think the program's dropout rate could be closely tied to these young kids not knowing what they're in for exactly."
"That's great, Harry," Draco said, turning his head away from Fitzwilde briefly to meet Harry's eyes.
His smile, the genuine one Harry was always happy to see, reached his smoky eyes, and Harry couldn't help but return a dopey grin.
"You'll let me know if there's anything I can do, right? Maybe we can sit down tonight and you can tell me more about it," Draco asked.
Harry nodded, still a little bit lost in the light of Draco's full attention. A sudden movement out of the corner of Harry's eye drew his attention away, as time seemed to slow down. He watched Fitzwilde fumble the full bottle of the cowbane as he unscrewed it over the cauldron, directly against Draco's direction from earlier. Without a moment's hesitation, Harry threw up the strongest shield charm he knew, creating a barrier between the students and the cauldron, just as the cowbane reached the bubbling brew. Time seemed to resume, then. In the blink of an eye, there was a loud bang and a flash of bright orange light, and the cauldron began spitting, emitting a smog that quickly began to fill the air. Draco ran to the cauldron, beginning to cast spells at it as he went. It seemed contained within moments, and Draco began to levitate it toward the set of sinks at the back, next to the safety station.
"Harry, grab those safety goggles, now!" Draco yelled over his shoulder.
While Draco had sprung into action, the shield charm had stolen some of Harry's energy. He had been watching the smog bump up against the barrier he'd created. Luckily, all of the students, including Fitzwilde, were safely on the other side. He hadn't realized that his eyes had begun to burn and rushed to grab a pair of safety glasses and secure them over his head, atop his signature specs.
"Is this stuff safe to inhale?"
Harry yelled back to Draco over the commotion of the students, a racket of fear and anxiety.
"It's not great, but it won't cause any permanent damage. You'll be safe for 5 minutes. Let me deal with this,"
Draco responded, completely in control of the situation. Harry sank down to the floor, his back against the cabinets there. In any normal situation, he would have been right alongside Draco, fixing and prioritizing to ensure the safety of everyone involved. But his eyes, exposed for over a minute to the smog, had begun to burn. His vision, despite his glasses, was blurring. He listened as Draco finished decontaminating the cauldron and began casting spells Harry was unfamiliar with. Based on the Latin, he guessed they might be used to expel or confine the smog.
"Miss Thomas Finnegan, here if you please," he heard Draco call out,
and the noise of the students hushed as Dean and Seamus's daughter made her way to their professor.
"I need you to go to Headmistress McGonagall's office. Tell her that we had a cowbane explosion, but that it was quickly contained and no students appear to be affected. Please let her know that Professor Potter and I are in my classroom, and that we will be sealing the door behind your class and allowing the rest of the fumes to dissipate. She can send me a Patronus with any questions, and please let her know that we will do the same if we need anything. Do you have all that?"
Harry assumed the bright young witch nodded, as Draco began again.
"Is everyone feeling all right?"
A pause.
"Good. All of you, please return to your respective houses and take a shower. I will have a house elf deliver a special soap that should be there before you arrive. While I don't believe any of you were in contact thanks to Professor Potter here, I don't want to take any chances. Wash thoroughly."
Harry could imagine Draco's stare and commanding voice, pinning each of the students where they stood.
"You are dismissed. We will regroup on Monday."
Harry listened as Draco urged the students out quickly, telling them to leave the stations as they were. He heard Fitzwilde say Draco's name, and the quick reply that followed.
"We will discuss this later. Please do not spend all weekend worrying over it. You won't be expelled or anything that severe, but you need to understand the consequences of your impatience."
"But—"
Fitzwilde started.
"Not now, Andrew. I have much to do to ensure my safety and the safety of Professor Potter. So please, leave and shut the door behind you."
"What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy?"
By Booktopus. Chapter 3. Harry heard a dull thud and shoes scrambling on the stone floor. Fitzwilde must have bumped into a desk in his haste to leave. Harry heard the heavy wooden door close as the last student left the classroom.
"Coloportus, includo," Draco cast, sighing.
Harry felt Draco collapse next to him, leaning slightly into his side.
"Are you all right?"
he asked Harry.
"Fine. Can't, see, but I'm hoping you'll tell me not to be concerned."
Draco chuckled half-heartedly.
"You don't need to be concerned. I have a special solution for your eyes, and will need to wash off the residue from the smog. Which reminds me—"
Draco paused.
"Sudsy?" he called.
Harry was slightly startled by the pop of apparition, jumping a bit and causing Draco to snicker.
"Don't worry, Harry. Sudsy isn't susceptible to the vapors. Nearly indestructible, aren't you?"
he teased half-heartedly. Harry knew too well that wasn't the case. Before a flood of emotions could take over, he pushed the memory of a poisoned knife to the back of his brain, focusing instead on Draco's voice.
Sudsy spoke up then.
"Indeed. What can Sudsy help you with, Professor Malfoy?"
Draco provided instructions to the house elf, requesting that they first bring some of the aforementioned special soap back to the classroom.
"Also towels and a fresh set of clothes for us both. And some sandwiches and pumpkin juice. We'll likely miss dinner."
"Sudsy," Harry asked quickly before she could apparate away, "could you please add whatever is for dessert tonight?"
"Yes, Professor Potter, sir, with pleasure,"
Sudsy replied, snapping her fingers to apparate away.
"Good call on the sweets, Potter."
"Thank you, Malfoy. Now can you please guide me to this eye wash before my eyesight gets worse than it already is?"
Draco swiftly rose to stand as Harry extended an arm, a silent request for help in standing up.
"Up you go then, Harry."
Draco closed his cool, soft hand around Harry's and pulled gently. The blood rushed to Harry's head as he rose from the floor, and he tumbled forward slightly into Draco's chest. Draco wrapped his free arm around Harry's waist to catch him, still firmly grasping Harry's hand with the other.
"Sure you're all right?"
Draco breathed. Harry could tell that their faces were very close, and managed to respond with a nod. Draco stepped back after a long moment, tugging slightly on Harry's hand to guide him towards the back of the classroom. They stopped in what Harry imagined was the back corner, where the showers were located, in case of an emergency such as this, along with the other safety equipment. Magic could do the trick in most situations, but Draco was serious about the safety of his students and had trained in Muggle techniques to ensure quick, effective care in the case of an accident.
"Okay," Draco said, freeing Harry's hand at last. "I'm just going to walk you through what I'm going to do. Just stay still, okay?"
Harry nodded again.
"First, I'm casting a modified bubblehead charm. More of just a bubble charm now, really. I've developed it to expand out as far as I need, so I can encompass both of us completely," Draco said, muttering the incantation under his breath.
Harry felt the whisper of the shield against his skin as it curled around to the back of his head and down his body.
"And now I'm going to take off your glasses. Because of the way the charm works, starting from a vacuum, the oxygen inside is uncontaminated. Neat, huh?"
Draco asked as his hands carefully removed both the safety goggles and Harry's glasses from his face.
"Yeah, neat," Harry agreed. It was disorienting not to know exactly where he was, but he found comfort in Draco's voice guiding him through the process.
"Just need to grab the solution," Draco said, his voice now coming from below as he knelt in front of the cabinet. "I'm working on getting the bubble to move with me, but when it's large like this, it doesn't seem to want to follow in the same way that it does when it's just around someone's head. Luckily, everything we need is right here."
Harry's ears were working in overdrive. The sound of bottles being rearranged pierced the silence of the now empty classroom. Draco must have found what he was looking for, as the sound abruptly stopped, only to be replaced by others. The clink of a glass bottle being placed on a granite countertop, the dull thud of something plastic being placed beside it, the pop that sounded as the glass bottle was uncorked, the calming in and out of Draco's breath inside their bubble, the dribble and then steady streaming as something, presumably whatever was inside the glass bottle, was poured into the plastic one, the wrenching as Draco closed up the plastic bottle, an exhale.
"Okay. This is going to be a little uncomfortable, but it should provide quick relief," Draco said.
Harry nodded again, dumbly.
"What do you need me to do?"
"You're good there. Are you comfortable against the counter?"
Another nod.
"Okay, I'm going to just..."
Draco trailed off as Harry felt one of his legs slot between Harry's.
"I need to be close. For precision," Draco stated.
Harry wasn't sure if he imagined the hitch in his breath.
"For precision, sure," Harry agreed, doing his best not to smile.
Draco tilted his head back slightly, still so close that Harry could feel his breath ghosting across his skin. Draco must have mistaken Harry's shiver as discomfort.
"Sorry, sorry, I'll get on with it. I'm going to have to hold your eye open and spray this in, okay? Opening your eye shouldn't cause any additional pain, but the liquid will likely be a bit startling. I promise to be fast, okay?"
"Okay, okay. Just do it," Harry said, trying to focus on the discomfort in his eye instead of Draco's proximity.
"Okay. Here goes. I'm opening your eye. Such a lovely shade of green, Potter," Draco teased. "And you're going to feel a..."
Harry winced noticeably as the solution penetrated his eye. Draco kept talking, haltingly as they went along.
"It will be okay. Breathe with me. I'm just going to let the stream run for another few seconds to flush everything out."
He paused.
"And done. There, that wasn't so bad, was it?"
Harry squirmed a bit. It was startling to have a liquid poured directly into your eye.
"Can I rub the one you just did?"
"Oh, yeah, of course," Draco said, taking a step back.
Harry's curled fist flew to his eye and dug in, finding comfort in the discomfort.
"God, that's good," Harry said, practically moaning. "Felt like there was sand in there or something. That was awful."
Draco cleared his throat, and Harry was reminded of how close they were.
"Oh, right, sorry. Go ahead," Harry prompted, allowing his hand to drop from his eye.
He blinked a few times, but while the itchiness was gone, he still saw nothing but a blur, darkened at the edges.
"Don't worry," Draco said, rubbing his arm soothingly. The eyesight solution takes a while. It'll be okay. You all right if I move on to the other one?
Harry sighed resignedly and nodded again. Draco's thumb grazed Harry's cheek as he went to hold the other eye open. The liquid again startled Harry, but before Harry knew it, Draco was stepping out of his space.
All set, Draco said from next to him. Now I know you can't see just yet, but so that we can remove the bubblehead, I'm just going to charm your regular glasses into safety glasses.
Harry heard the tip of Draco's wand tap against the metal of his frames.
Salvus oculum. And there you are, Draco said, stepping in front of Harry once again and gingerly resting the glasses on Harry's nose and ears. The charm works both ways, turns them into safety glasses and back to normal. I'm really sorry that I hadn't taught you that and insisted on your use of it earlier. That was careless of me.
Draco removed the bubble charm with a flick of his wand. Harry resisted the urge to push his glasses further up on his nose. They were sitting perfectly, and the action was more a nervous habit than anything else. No harm, no foul. We know now, right? He laughed nervously. He felt awkward, unsure of where to put his hands. The temporary loss of his vision had knocked him off kilter.
You are far more forgiving than I, Draco said. But I guess we already knew that, seeing how far we've come since 11, haven't we?
Harry was saved from answering by the pop of apparition signaling Sudsy's return.
Here is everything the professors have requested, Sudsy said. Mitzi included some extra sweets for you, Professor Potter.
Harry flushed. Thank you, Sudsy, and say thank you to Mitzi for me, please.
Yes, sir.
Another pop, and the room was silent once more.
So, Harry started, wanting to fill the void. Right, yes. You can release that shield charm, for starters. I have to say, I knew you were powerful, but you had that thing up before I even knew something was wrong. Smart to have thrown it up to the ceiling to protect the children. And it's lasted, hasn't it?
You know me. Long-lasting is my middle name, Harry quipped, then groaned, immediately wishing he could shove every word back into his mouth. He could feel his skin growing warmer as he flushed with embarrassment. He knew that Draco wore his signature smirk and a raised eyebrow without even having to see it.
Huh, I always thought it was James. Funny that, Draco drawled from somewhere to Harry's left.
I'm sorry I didn't catch you in the shield too, Harry said, ignoring Draco's comment and hoping to quickly move on. It happened pretty fast. I didn't know what would happen, and all I could think about were the kids.
Harry, Draco said sternly. You don't have to apologize to me. I should have been better monitoring my class. Andrew, especially. I'm just thankful you were here, or I'd have a much, much bigger problem on my hands.
Harry rubbed the back of his neck nervously. Like I said, no harm, no foul. So, what now?
Well, Draco started, snapping back into his professor voice, which had zero effect on Harry. Really. The smog typically takes about 6 hours to fully dissipate. We'll have to leave the room sealed until the monitoring spell shows the air to be all clear. Unfortunately, that means we're stuck here until then.
And that's safe, Harry interrupted.
I was getting there, Potter, Draco clucked. Harry could feel Draco's eyes roll. Yes, we're safe. The solution will actually continue to protect your eyes for up to 48 hours. I'll pour some into mine as well. We'd use this instead of the safety glasses more often, but it takes a while to brew, and the safety glasses typically do the trick. The residue is mostly from the initial blast, so we should be all right if we shower now and perhaps one more time once the air is clear, just for safety's sake.
Right, Harry said. So, now? We have to shower now?
Internally, he was damning the entire situation. The one time he'd get to see even just an inch of Draco's skin, and here he was, more or less blind.
Draco sighed.
Yes, we have to shower now. I know you're not the most observant, but surely you recall that we do have 2 showerheads back here. There's no stall doors or anything, since they're typically only used in dire situations when you need to rinse off, Like, immediately. Oh, Harry stuttered. Sure, no, yeah, I remember. No problems. So I'll just... He reached down to begin unbuttoning his robes. Well, actually, no. And this feels a little unfair, because you can't see, and I can. But we really ought to rush this along. Let me just... Draco grabbed Harry's hands and walked backwards, guiding him under one of the shower heads. Harry noticed that he was beginning to see shapes again, though everything was still incredibly blurry. Okay, we're at the showers. And I promise I won't look, but I'm going to have to vanish your clothes. You're going to have to... Wait, what? But before he could get any more words out, Harry could feel the cool air on his bare skin. As he realized that the soft cotton of his t-shirt and the confines of his skinny jeans were gone, Harry's hands flew down to cover himself. A moment of silence hung in the air. Both men began to speak at the same time. That was my favorite Weird Sisters t-shirt, Harry blurted out. I'm naked too, don't worry, and I've turned around so I can't see you. Your favorite t-shirt? Potter, that's what you get for wearing a t-shirt under your robes. I'm running around in a classroom all day. I'm not going to wear a button-down. And what, am I supposed to thank you for preserving my modesty? Get a button-down with some stretch, or one of those muggle polos. Anything other than your favorite t-shirt. I don't know. And don't act like you have any modesty, Harry. I've seen you plenty of times. What is that supposed to mean? Ah! Harry yelped, as a torrent of warm water cascaded over him, the rumble of the pipes providing little warning. You know exactly what it means, Mr. July. And I'm sorry, but we didn't have time for squabbling. I was starting to feel my skin flare up. Harry groaned. He had agreed to pose for a charity calendar a few years back, at Luna's request. What he wouldn't have agreed to, had he known, was that the only thing between his manhood and the rest of the wizarding world would be a coiled boa constrictor. Who, for the record, let Harry know that he was not pleased about the situation either. He relaxed, letting his head fall back and bringing his hands up to run through his hair, having no good response for Draco. Merlin's beard. How'd you get the water to come on at the perfect temperature? There's a charm, of course. I can cast it in your quarters later, if you like. Harry hummed in agreement. Pulling his head back out of the shower, he blinked a few times, trying to clear some of the cloudiness away. This time, things were feeling more in focus. He watched as a Draco-shaped blob stepped into his field of vision. Here's the soap. I promise I'm not looking, Draco said, pressing a bottle into Harry's hand. Wait, can you see me? He waved a hand in front of Harry's face. I thought you weren't looking, Harry protested, swiping the hand away. I wasn't looking down, you knob. I thought you couldn't see. Harry rolled his eyes, and Draco huffed. I can barely see anything. I'm just following your movement. It's definitely coming back, though. He watched Draco's figure retreat back to the other side of the shower. If he was correct, some of the darkness was also beginning to fade. What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy? By Booktopus. Chapter 4. They washed in silence for a few moments. Harry remembered Draco's instruction to the class and scrubbed thoroughly, getting every nook and cranny. Draco? He asked. As if breaking away from an important thought, Draco paused before saying,
Yes.
Would you be able to get my back? And I'll get yours. I'm afraid I can't reach, and you said to be thorough. Draco was quiet again. Harry backtracked. No, it's fine. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Draco let out a heavy sigh.
No, it's not that, Harry. I'm happy to get your back. Spin towards me.
Harry was relieved as suddenly Draco's soap-slick, smooth hands were deftly gliding over his back. Harry relaxed immediately into the touch, savoring the feel of Draco's hands on his skin.
The thing is, Potter, well...
Draco trailed off again. Harry chuckled nervously. Trust me, you don't have anything I haven't seen before.
but I want you to be comfortable. I'll close my eyes. I won't look at anything.
I can probably charm these glasses to black out, Harry was saying as Draco cut him off.
No, it's fine. I'm not sure why I'm so nervous about this. I guess it's just that very few people have seen my skin over the last decade, and I don't know, I'm worried about what you'll think.
The relaxation from Draco's soapy back massage was quickly fading, Harry's curiosity more than piqued. What on earth could Draco be hiding under all of those robes and fancy clothes?
Draco, I've seen you at your worst. A few times. And you've seen me at mine. And look at this body. I'm littered in scars and marks. Plus, you're my friend. What would I have to judge you for?
He blinked a few more times. His vision was definitely coming back. He could recognize depth and colors now. It was almost like his vision was when his glasses were off. Not great, but not the blurry mess from minutes before. Draco was quiet behind him, still rubbing his back.
You let me know, Harry said quietly. My vision is definitely coming back. At this rate, it'll probably only be another minute until it's totally normal. I'll do whatever will make you most comfortable.
Another pause. Harry was thinking about what to say next when Draco finally spoke.
No, you're right. And it makes sense if it's going to be anyone who sees, it'll be you.
Draco's hands stilled and then dropped.
I guess it's my turn.
Harry heard Draco turn in the shower behind him. What was he going to see when he turned around himself?
Warts? Disfigurement?
Harry? Draco asked, hesitantly, breaking up the racing thoughts in his head.
Yeah, right. I'm going to turn around now. And I can see pretty well.
You're sure about this?
Just look, Potter.
Harry only hesitated for a moment before spinning around.
You have a tattoo.
Harry's eyes had zeroed in on the masterpiece that spanned Draco's back. It was an elegant white swan, floating on water, surrounded by foliage. Cattails hung heavy over the pond, interspersed with purple irises. A white lily floated delicately on the water. The swan's neck was curved delicately down towards the water, where its twin, the reflection, was black as night, a stark contrast to the white above it. Both were a picture of beauty and grace. Harry took a step closer, and more detail came into focus. Delicate line work etching out feathers, the moon reflecting in the rippling water, the two swans a perfect mirror image. And the white swan. It wasn't white. It wasn't inked at all, in fact. It was Draco's pure alabaster skin, unmarred and made brighter by all the color around it. Harry reached his hand out, brushing the tips of his fingers over the line work, surprised to find that the skin was smooth, not a single raised edge to be found. Draco shivered at his touch. He still hadn't said anything.
You have a tattoo, Harry stated, more confidently, wanting Draco to say something, anything.
Observant, Potter. I have a lot of tattoos.
Harry tore his eyes away from the swan. Draco was right. He was covered in them. Harry's eyes raked his shoulders and arms, even chancing a glance down at his bum and legs. There was hardly a patch of untouched skin anywhere. Harry could have sworn the water grew several degrees hotter in that moment, as his body flushed all over from the sight before him.
Merlin, Harry exhaled. They're beautiful.
Draco stiffened in front of him.
You're meant to be washing my back.
He glanced briefly over his shoulder, breaking the trance that Harry found himself in.
Right, your back, Harry stammered, grabbing the bottle and spurting soap into his hand.
Reverently, he began to massage the soap into Draco's back and shoulders. The muscles he found there were tense. Draco apparently hadn't found the same relaxation that Harry had in his place. Harry scrubbed in silence, sure to get every last corner of Draco's back. He was still admiring the swan and taking in more of the details. It appeared to be Muggle, unmoving in the haven of its pond.
Why? Harry asked. Why what? Draco answered quickly.
Well, lots of questions, I guess. Only if you don't mind, Harry said quickly.
I'll let you know if I don't want to answer.
Okay, then. Why the swan?
It's my Patronus.
Harry realized that he had never seen Draco's Patronus. He knew that he was able to cast a corporeal one, as he'd used it several times over their years as professors. But Harry had only heard of it mentioned, never having received a message via Draco's swan himself.
I meant what I said. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Draco said shortly. You can stop washing. I think I'm clean enough. Next question?
Harry took a step back, averting his eyes, not wanting to lose Draco's trust in that moment, wanting only to see more.
Yeah. I mean, why? Why the tattoos?
From the corner of his eye, he saw Draco rinse off, turn off the water, and Accio one of the large black towels to himself, wiping off quickly before wrapping it around his waist.
You should get out too, else you'll be pruny, Draco said, his back still to Harry.
Harry shook himself out of his haze and followed Draco's advice, turning off the water and toweling off himself.
Are you decent? Draco asked.
Sometimes, Harry said, eliciting a throaty laugh from Draco, who turned around finally.
Harry was quick to look him in the eyes, even though all he wanted to do was take in the artwork adorning Draco's dewy skin. Draco transfigured two of the student stools into leather armchairs, arranged next to each other. He took one and motioned for Harry to take the other, which he did, eagerly. Draco hadn't moved to put on clothes, and Harry was happy to follow his lead.
Why the tattoos? Well, it started as a way to reclaim my body after the war. I started with this one, obviously, he said, glancing down at his arm. Harry took this as permission to look as well. Harry could barely make out the dark mark anymore. While it seemed to have lost its black color and movement, the lines of it were raised, scarred and angry red. The ghost it left behind on Draco's skin was a far cry from the original. In fact, it likely would have been difficult to make out any specific shape if you didn't know what you were looking for. The tattoos that overlaid it, however, were spectacular. A mess of black and white flowers of all types, woven in and around each other with vines and other flora.
Harry reached out and looked to Draco's hooded eyes for permission.
You can touch, Draco said quietly.
Instead of reaching for the arm itself, Harry boldly intertwined his fingers with Draco's, taking care to lift the arm and turn it this way and that. There were no breaks, no surprising bursts of color, just intricate, delicate line work from his wrist to his shoulder. He could make out every tiny petal on the chrysanthemum on Draco's elbow, each inner disc flower of the sunflower on the sensitive inner flesh of his upper arm. Honeysuckle climbed his forearm, nectar dripping from the dainty stamen of one flower close to his wrist.
I can't believe that you hid these away, Harry breathed, tearing his eyes away to meet Draco's. Why are you ashamed of them?
Draco held his gaze for a moment, before dropping his eyes and Harry's hand simultaneously. He brought his other hand up to trace the lines of the scar, pensive.
At first, I think I wanted them to be my own, something that no one else could see or touch. These are all the flowers from the Manor Gardens. Mother taught me the language of flowers when I was young, and I wanted them represented here, something to remember happier times. Those months in the Manor with Voldemort and his cronies were...
Draco paused, though his voice remained steady.
Bad for me. After a while, I guess, and a lot of therapy, I might have been willing to share them, let the world see. But once I started filling my body, covering it so thoroughly, I was afraid, again, of what people might think. The Death Eater, marred with ink, unapproachable and dangerous.
But they're so elegant. And you're not, Harry started, before being interrupted.
Yes, yes, not a Death Eater, blah, 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 Draco said snootily, letting go of Harry's hand to wave the thought away. But now, a professor. What would all the parents think?
their precious sons and daughters being taught by someone so unprofessional that they would layer themselves in self-indulgent permanent marks.
Harry started.
Draco, they're not marks. They're artwork. I'm sure that anyone would be able to see that. You're... they're gorgeous.
Yes, well, Draco snorted. I don't think we'll ever know.
Harry didn't know what to say to this, so he said nothing, dropping his own eyes and hands to his towel-covered lap.
What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy?
By Booktopus.
Chapter 5. They sat for a few moments in silence, Draco fidgeting more and more by the minute.
Okay, do you want to see more? Now that you've seen one, I want to show them all off. I don't get to show many people. And now you know, so... you know.
This was a side of Draco that Harry adored. He still appreciated attention being bestowed upon him, wanting to shine under the weight of someone else's eyes. In Harry's eyes, Draco glowed. Even covered up from head to toe, Harry never found him anything less than beautiful.
Yes, he exclaimed, his head flying up. I can just, look?
Well, I'm not standing up, Potter, but yes, you can look.
And look, Harry did. His gaze swept down both arms, noted the tattoos at Draco's collarbone and chest and...
nipples!
Draco guffawed, trying to hold back his laughter.
Nipples? Yes, Potter, I have nipples. I believe you'll find that you do, too.
They're pierced.
They are.
Draco raised one carefully shaped eyebrow at Harry, likely wondering what was coming next.
Why? Harry asked, not able to conjure up another word, nor able to tear his eyes away.
Well, they're not for aesthetics, particularly, Draco chuckled.
Not for... Harry trailed off, dumbstruck.
They're for pleasure, Potter. Certainly you must know what that is.
Harry gasped and met Draco's heated stare. He felt himself flush all over. Just the word pleasure falling from Draco's lips was enough to send blood rushing to his cock.
Are you all right? Draco asked, his voice rough.
Yep, yes, Harry mumbled, trying in vain to rearrange the towel to cover his burgeoning erection.
Draco smiled evilly.
Are you getting hard, Potter? Is it these?
He traced a finger down his chest and over one nipple, shot through with a barbell. He inhaled sharply, and Harry was sure he'd done the same. His mind worked then in quick succession. Draco was taunting him, not changing the subject. Draco had asked if he was hard. Harry could either step it up and find his courage, or he might lose this opportunity. Merlin knew he'd been waiting 7 years. Who knew how long, if ever, it'd be before he'd get the chance again?
I want to touch them, he blurted out. Certainly not his finest moment, but at least it was something.
Both of Draco's eyebrows flew up in surprise, something Harry didn't think he'd ever witnessed before.
Do you now?
I do. Well, have done for a while. I mean, not your nipples. I mean... yes, your nipples, but not specifically, or exclusively.
Please shut up.
Okay.
Draco's eyebrows had settled back down, and he stared haughtily at Harry. Harry felt exposed, like he was a mouse waiting to see what the cat would do next.
The silence was too long. If that's weird, we can just forget I said it. Our friendship is so important to me, Harry stammered out.
Potter... Draco cut him off yet again. I said, shut up.
Draco rose from his chair and took 2 paces to stand in front of Harry's. With only a hint of hesitation, he lifted one leg up, placing his knee next to Harry's hip, before bringing the other up, effectively straddling him. Harry wasn't sure how he'd managed to keep his towel wrapped around his waist, but he was suitably impressed. Harry had held his hands up during the process, unsure where to touch. But now that Draco was
In his lap, of his own volition? He threw all caution to the wind, placing a hand on each of Draco's pronounced hip bones as he looked up at Draco's face.
Well, Draco said, are you going to touch them or not?
Harry shuddered beneath him. His poor cock was strangled in his towel, quickly filling out with nowhere to go. He skimmed both hands up Draco's torso and brushed his thumbs over each nipple as gently as possible. Above him, Draco let his head fall back and stuttered out of breath. Pleased with this reaction, Harry pinched each nipple between a thumb and forefinger. The metal was cool against his skin, and he found himself rolling the nubs over the bar of metal that ran through each of them.
Fuck, Harry,
Draco said from above him, his head still dropped back in pleasure. Harry scooted his arse back in the armchair, sitting up straighter. This new position allowed him to lean forward and capture a nipple in his mouth, wrenching a gasp from Draco. He caught the round ends of the barbell between his teeth and, ever so gently, tugged.
Ah, Harry, let go, let go!
Draco yelped above him. Immediately, Harry let go, removing both of his hands and letting his head hit the back of the couch.
Madeline, I'm so sorry. I should have asked for...
He was saved from saying anything more by the press of Draco's pouty lips on his own. It took just a moment for his brain to catch up to what was happening and respond, pressing back insistently and tilting his head up for easier access. Draco brought both of his hands up to cup Harry's face, pulling him closer and closer still. After a few long drags back and forth, Draco pulled back. Harry was happy to find heat behind his eyes, black overtaking more of the gray than usual. After a breath, Draco responded to Harry's earlier statement, hands still on his face.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. That was perfect. I just couldn't go another second without kissing you.
Oh, Harry grinned lopsidedly. Well, can we do that again? Draco returned the grin, bringing his lips back to Harry's. As they traded staccato kisses, Harry could feel Draco's smile against his mouth, and a warm pool gathered in his belly. He ran his hands up and down Draco's back, imagining the swan that lived there. After a bit, Draco pulled back again.
Hi, he said, just a few inches from Harry's face.
Harry smiled harder.
Hi. You said that you've wanted me for a while. Is that true?
Harry bit his lip and nodded. Draco's thumb traced his jawline, catching gently on his stubble.
Why didn't you say anything before? I'm, like, always flirting with you, Draco teased.
You flirt with everyone. That's unfair, Harry exclaimed.
That's true, Draco said, chuckling a bit. But mostly with you.
Well, and I don't know, you're always so buttoned up and proper. I figured you'd never want to slum it with me, weird sister's t-shirts and all.
I would slum it with you every day, Potter, Draco purred. I want to wear one of those weird sister's t-shirts and nothing else. See what it does to you.
Merlin, help him, it did things. Needing to slow things down before he came in his towel like a bloody fourth year, Harry leaned back further into the chair. Can you tell me more about your tattoos? Like, what's this one? He asked, skimming his fingers up Draco's left arm. The flowers that climbed all the way up Draco's shoulder trailed off in favor of a large set of clouds, which capped his shoulder and extended down towards his heart. This piece was magical, and a storm was currently gathering, the clouds rotating through grays and blues, swirling around each other angrily. The clouds would billow out and then reform as if alive, performing a dance over Draco's skin. Harry trailed his fingers up and over the tattoo, curious if it would react. The storm paused momentarily, and Harry could have sworn he heard a rumble of thunder in the distance. But it started up again, rollicking around on Draco's shoulder.
Sorry, pass. That's a personal one, Draco said, piquing Harry's curiosity, though he knew better than to push his luck. This one over here, though, was another one of my early tattoos.
Harry ran his fingers over the words that clung to Draco's collarbone in an elegant script. Omnia vincit amor. There was beauty in its simplicity. There were no interruptions, no unnecessary underlines or breaks in the words. Nothing more was needed than the statement. "Love conquers all," Harry questioned.
"Love conquers all," Draco agreed. "I got it right after Mother passed. It's something she used to say to me, especially when things were looking particularly dark for the Malfoy family. I think she meant it as a statement of hope, like we'd make it out intact or something."
Harry leaned forward and kissed it reverently. "And you keep it close to your heart." Draco caught Harry's chin with his finger and tipped his head up for easier access. This kiss was different than the earlier ones had been. It was slow and special, Harry feeling as if they had all the time in the world, just for the two of them. Eventually, Draco's tongue teased at Harry's lips. He reciprocated, slipping his tongue out to dance with Draco's in the space between them, before licking into Draco's mouth. Things sped up in that moment. With Draco up on his knees, Harry was finally able to adjust his cock so it wasn't being trapped. Once Harry removed his hand, Draco rocked back, pressing his arse into Harry's hard-on. Harry gasped into his mouth, and Draco broke away with just enough time to ask, "Enjoying yourself?" before diving back in. Harry's hands, which had been exploring Draco's torso, found their way back to Draco's hips again. He noticed that Draco's towel was dipping lower and lower, dangerously close to falling away completely. He hiked it back up, holding it against Draco's hip bones, and gripping tightly to push and pull Draco's bum against his eager cock.
"Such a thoughtful little Gryffindor," Draco huffed into Harry's mouth.
He took his hands away from Harry's jaw to unfurl his towel, exposing the most perfect pink penis Harry had ever seen, twitching with anticipation before him. Harry gulped, suddenly imagining the weight of it on his tongue. He rolled his hips under Draco, letting his eyes feast on the sight before him. And what a feast it was! Not only was there a gorgeous, achingly hard cock to take in, there were more tattoos here, too. Wrapped around his right thigh, Draco had a slender emerald snake with a diamond pattern etched intricately onto its back in light blues and blacks. It was unmoving. Right above his thigh, the snake's head laid, dismembered. The significance there was easy enough to figure out, and Harry figured he'd save that discussion for another day.
"This isn't an art gallery, Potter. You can touch, you know," Draco said, thrusting his hips forward, causing his dick to bob heavily between them.
All of Harry's blood was currently occupying his nether regions, though he managed to ask if they could trade positions.
"I want to suck your cock," Harry bit out, his mouth actually watering at the thought.
Draco's eyes blazed and he nodded, pulling himself off of Harry to stand before reaching out a hand to help him up. Harry stood in front of Draco and let his own towel drop. He wasn't as in shape as those days of training with the Aurors, but he knew his frame was built enough from years of Quidditch games and the sheer physicality of teaching a class like defense. Plus, one of his former lovers had generously commented once that the size of his dick more than made up for his short stature. As he had earlier, Draco stepped into his space. Their height difference was definitely noticeable as Harry tipped up slightly onto his toes in order to meet Draco's mouth. He steadied himself on Draco, who pulled him in to take some of the weight. Relaxing into the embrace, Harry curled his arms up around Draco's neck, brushing the delicate skin at the base of his neck while they traded kisses.
"Who knew you'd be such a good kisser, Potter?"
Draco murmured against Harry's lips.
"It's not something I've specifically been complimented on before,"
Harry giggled.
"Giggled!" into Draco's mouth. "Maybe you're just the right person."
"And romantic. I'd never have guessed," Draco teased back.
Harry shoved him away, not getting very far with Draco's grip on his waist.
"All right, that's enough from you. Do you want a blowjob or not?"
Draco quirked one side of his lips up, nodding. He grabbed a towel and transfigured it into a plush pillow, before setting it on the floor in front of the chair for Harry to kneel on.
Thoughtful, Harry commented. He pushed Draco down to sit.
Draco adjusted himself, getting comfortable.
You don't have to do this, you know.
Oh, but I want to, Harry said, settling on the pillow in front of the chair, eye to eye with the head of Draco's dick. But he had other matters to attend to first. This was not a moment he wanted to rush. He pulled Draco's left ankle up in order to kiss the dip behind his knee.
I want to devour every inch of you.
His thumb rubbed the ankle he held in his hand, and he felt a bumpy patch of skin there. Looking down, he found that a great deal of Draco's ankle and lower shin were covered in...
Were those burns?
It was only then that he took in the full inferno that raged over the full length of Draco's leg. Swirls of angry red and orange fire burned fast and furious. Indistinct shapes came to the surface and fell back again, only to be replaced by other galloping forms.
Fiendfire, Harry said. Are these scars from...
The Room of Hidden Things?
Yes.
Harry took a deep breath, not able to tear his eyes away from the wildfire.
I didn't realize that you were hurt. I'm sorry.
Sorry? Harry, I would have died if you hadn't come back for me. Full stop. You have literally nothing to apologize for. The heat of Draco's skin under Harry's reverent touch only added to the imagery. He followed the curve of Draco's thigh up and up, peppering kisses along the way. Harry found that the fire stopped just at the apex of his leg, where his torso met it to form the deep, sexy V that ran down towards his crotch. The head of a smoldering dragon formed out of the flames, and Harry watched it roar silently, spitting flames that joined the others in the fiery torrent, before fading away again. Tearing his eyes away, Harry shifted his focus back to the blowjob he'd promised, only to notice that their conversation seemed to have stunted the excitement a bit. He looked up to meet Draco's gaze.
Sorry, did I just ruin the moment? Harry asked, releasing Draco's leg gently.
Draco leaned forward, resting his forehead against Harry's.
There's no ruining this, I think. Just a change of pace.
Are you all right?
Harry nodded.
Do you want to continue?
Harry answered this with a kiss, which Draco melted into from above him, looping his arms around Harry's neck.
He pulled away from the position after a moment. It must have been uncomfortable being bent nearly in half.
Harry smiled and dipped his head again, pressing a light kiss just inside Draco's thigh, eliciting a small moan.
Harry smiled, exhaling hotly over Draco's skin while trailing kisses up his leg. When he reached Draco's dick, it was clear that the teasing had done the trick, a bead of pre-cum forming under Harry's ministrations. Harry wasted no time licking into the slit, savoring the salty taste on his tongue. Above him, Draco was breathing hard, and his pupils were blown wide in lust and anticipation. Harry grew harder still, seeing Draco so undone like this, knowing it was he who had garnered this reaction. Harry shifted slightly, getting more comfortable on the towel, before diving in. He found the join of Draco's cock and balls and suckled there, pulling the taut skin into his mouth before licking a stripe up the underside of Draco's cock, feeling it pulse under his tongue. Once at the top, he enveloped the head in the soft heat of his mouth, tracing the edge of Draco's crown with his tongue. He dipped down further and sucked in his cheeks ever so slightly, eliciting a whine from somewhere above him. Slowly, he worked down, down, down Draco's dick, taking in more with each bob of his head. He relaxed a bit, pointedly breathing through his nose and releasing his jaw. Eventually, the head of Draco's cock was working past his palate and into Harry's throat. He swallowed around the length, a few tears squeezing out of his eyes, saliva dribbling down his chin. Draco wiped the tears away and tentatively put his hand on the back of Harry's head, applying no pressure.
"Merlin, Harry, you're taking my cock like a fucking champion," Draco exhaled.
This praise urged Harry on. He set a steady pace, enjoying the obscene moans and gasps from above him, Draco's fingers tightened in his hair, and Harry felt his own dick twitch in reaction.
"Harry, Harry, fuck," Draco said, using the fingers buried in Harry's hair to slow him down. "Fuck, I'm going to come if you don't stop."
Harry pulled off with a pop, a string of saliva stretching from his mouth back to the head.
"Isn't that the point?" he asked cheekily.
Draco huffed.
"Well, yes, but I haven't even gotten to touch you yet."
Emboldened by the thrill of sucking Draco's dick, Harry suddenly had an idea.
"Can I tell you about a fantasy I have?"
"What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy?"
By Booktopus.
Chapter 6.
Draco dropped his head to his chest, mumbling,
"You're going to be my death."
"Yes, please tell me about your fantasy."
"Remember that game in fifth year?"
"When you punched me?"
Draco whipped his head up, a confused look on his face.
"Well, yes, I mean, that's not the fantasy. I hated you so much at that moment."
Harry hadn't stopped stroking Draco's cock, loving the way he shifted under Harry's touch.
"I hope that's not the fantasy either,"
Draco interjected, still looking perplexed.
"No, no. It's, well, when I finally went to shower, I was so angry, but I also found myself harder than hell."
He remembered stalking through the locker room, throwing things around and ripping off his kit, seething with anger.
"Well, I don't particularly fancy getting punched in the face, but if that's really what you want..."
Draco trailed off, amused, as he thrust his cock up into Harry's fist. Harry couldn't help but laugh a bit at that.
"No, Merlin, would you just let me finish? Anyways, I was angry and hard and in the shower, and I just kept replaying the fight between us in my head. You were breathing so hard, and all I could smell was your sweat and the grass of the pitch, and I wanted to put my hands on you so badly. Trust me, it was the most confusing wank I've ever had."
"I cannot believe that you wanked to that."
"Like you've never had a confusing wank."
"Hearing Pansy and Theo fucking in the bed next to mine in fifth year. I kept telling myself it was the thought of Pansy getting railed and her tits bouncing and all that. But in reality, I was listening to every sound Theo made, and the slapping of their skin, and I just replaced Pansy with myself. First time I ever came while fingering myself."
"Fuck," Harry palmed himself. "Merlin, what was I even talking about?"
"Wanking to the thought of punching me."
"No, Pratt. It wasn't about punching you. It was about how physical it was. I pictured you coming into my locker room and continuing the fight, but I was naked in the shower, and somehow we ended up making out and blowing each other."
The scene played now in Harry's mind, something he'd gone back to time and again over the years.
"Hot,"
Draco said, raising an eyebrow and smiling, reaching out to brush his thumb over Harry's bottom lip.
"It was. And then it was again, and again. Eventually it had nothing to do with the fight, but it was always in the showers, in the locker room."
Draco waved his wand, and Harry heard the spray of a shower turning on behind them. He grinned as Draco stood and held out a hand to pull him up.
"I believe this is one fantasy we can easily make a reality. Potter."
He spat out Harry's name in just the manner Harry remembered from their formative years, and he had to take a breath to calm himself down. The vicious tone didn't match the gentle touch Draco used to remove Harry's glasses and set them on the arm of the chair. Draco crowded him then, towering over him, forcing him to walk backwards towards the showers. Suddenly, Harry felt warm water rushing over his head and gasped when his back collided with the cool tile wall behind him.
"Like this? Does it turn you on when I push you around?
Can't believe you caught the snitch again. Probably cheating," Draco spat, placing his hands on the wall to either side of Harry's head
and capturing his mouth in a forceful kiss. Harry reached out and thumbed both of Draco's nipples, the piercings made warm by the water. Each rub, tug, or pinch seemed to pull a different type of groan from Draco, thrilling Harry to no end. They made out heartily, groins slipping against each other in the warm water. Draco grabbed a cock in each hand and began to rub them together. The water made it hard for him to get any real purchase, so he was mostly swirling their cocks around each other, finding no rhythm but enjoying the press of their sensitive heads together. Harry had dropped his head to watch the fumbling, unbelievably turned on. His knees weakened, but Draco just pinned him harder to the wall, dropping their cocks and slotting his thigh between Harry's legs to keep him in place. "I'm going to make you come so hard you see stars, Potter," Draco promised, dropping his mouth to Harry's neck, and then over both nipples, trailing further and further down, finally coming to a rest on his knees in front of Harry. Water sluiced through Draco's hair, darkening it from its usual white blonde. Harry ran his fingers through it before cupping Draco's face, carefully outside of the stream of water. Draco grinned up at him, eyebrow quirked. He grabbed the bottle of soap they'd used earlier and squirted some onto his hand. "Don't worry, it's safe for the chosen asshole," he promised with a flirtatious sneer, as he slid his hand between Harry's thighs and found Harry's hole, running lubed fingers over it and pressing down without pressing in. Harry's gasp was quickly replaced by a moan. "Fuck, Draco." Draco took a much different approach than Harry had. "I want you to fuck my mouth like you mean it, like you hate me," he growled. Without giving Harry a chance to respond, he ran his tongue all the way down the underside, gagging a bit as the head hit the back of his tongue. He closed his mouth a bit on the way back up, dragging his teeth just enough for Harry's breath to hitch. Fuck the orgasm, Harry was already seeing stars. He buried his hands in the hair at the top of Draco's head that usually hung prettily just above his eyes. Harry was lost in a sea of stimulation as he let instinct take over. Draco's deft fingers had been caressing his hole and perineum. They caught on the rim, and he finally chanced a finger in, and after a while, a second. The drag of his knuckles, a slight press on his prostate, it would have been enough on its own. But Harry, at Draco's direction, was rocking his hips both back onto his fingers and then forward into the velvet heat of his mouth. He was holding Draco's head in place, trying not to go too hard, though Draco kept trying to get him to up the pace, making a come-hither motion inside him, lighting up every nerve ending. It didn't take very long for his movements to become sporadic. Harry stopped and tapped Draco's shoulder urgently. "Are you literally tapping out right now?" Draco asked with a chuckle as he pulled off of Harry's cock. His fingers remained inside, continuing to stroke of their own volition. "I want you to fuck me," Harry pleaded, feverishly. This sentiment knocked the smirk off of Draco's face and added some urgency to his next actions. In two short wand motions, Draco had spelled off the shower and summoned their towels. Instead of handing Harry his own, he draped it over his head, tousling his messy dark hair. He ran it gently over Harry's skin, holding him close, the touch gentle but insistent. Deeming Harry dry, Draco ran his own towel quickly over his body before stalking away towards the workstation Harry usually occupied during Draco's Thursday classes. "Come over here," Draco said. Harry dropped the towel from around his shoulders where Draco had left it, abandoning it to hurry over to join Draco. "Every time you sit at this desk in the future, I want you to think about me fucking you into it. I know that I will be." Draco's words sent a shiver down Harry's spine, and goose flesh erupted all over his skin. "Is that all right?"
"Yes, yes, please," Harry whined, squeezing his cock at the base in an effort to pull himself back from the edge.
"On your back," Draco commanded, though a smile broke through his put-on facade. "I want to see you. Please."
Harry hopped up onto the edge of the table and let Draco manhandle him a bit into the position he wanted. Draco must have cast a subtle cushioning charm, the surface of the table feeling more comfortable than Harry had anticipated. The scene expanding before him was worlds better than any fantasy he'd ever come up with. His mind was definitely enjoying this rougher side of Draco,
A far cry from the man so worried about the state of his own skin only a few hours prior. Ceding control also meant that he was free to take his fill of Draco and the ink covering his skin. Draco brought him back to the present, catching his bottom lip to suckle, eyes locked on Harry's own. Harry was on his back, bum all the way to the edge, with his legs wrapped precariously around Draco's waist. Harry ran his fingers up through the buzzed hair at the back of Draco's head and pulled him ever closer. "Harry," Draco laughed, "I'm on the tips of my toes as it is. You're going to pull me down on top of you." "That doesn't sound that bad," Harry retorted, kissing the tip of Draco's nose. "Next time?" Draco asked, grinning. "Next time. Now, are you going to fuck me or not?" Draco stood back up. "I am." He muttered a few protection spells before dropping his wand to the side. He'd also apparently grabbed the soap bottle from the shower, as he was currently applying some liberally to his cock. "Do you think you're ready for me?" He probably was, but Harry wanted their first time to go as smoothly as possible. There would, hopefully, be time for the burn of a tighter push at a later date. He went to reach down between his legs to finger himself open just a bit more, but Draco swatted his hand away and went to do the job himself. Harry let a moan slip as Draco slipped two fingers in. "How is that?"
"It's, good. Can you try for one more?"
Draco didn't reply, instead slipping his two fingers in and out of Harry at a leisurely pace, brushing against his prostate every few strokes, earning a whine from Harry. He curled his hand around Harry's length and squeezed once. His well-lubricated fingers skated over the sensitive skin there. He wasn't stroking so much as fondling, and Harry found it torturous, bucking his hips to try and get some friction. A third finger slipped inside Harry as he squirmed, and the stretch was enough to pin him in place. From above him, Draco placed a light kiss on the inside of Harry's ankle.
"You're gorgeous, Harry. I've often wondered what it would be like to have you under me. This is so much better than anything I've been able to conjure up."
Harry found it hard to respond, as his muscles were relaxing around the third finger, and Draco was hitting that sweet spot on every other thrust. Instead, he panted,
"Yes, better,"
eliciting a laugh from Draco. Then, all of a sudden, Harry was empty. He opened his eyes. He hadn't realized that he'd shut them, likely around the press of Draco's third finger, and took in all of Draco before him. He felt the tip of Draco's cock brush against his entrance.
"Wait," Harry started.
Draco pulled back immediately.
"What's wrong? I'm sorry," he sputtered.
"No, sorry, nothing's wrong,"
he said, soothing Draco by running his hands up his chest and propping himself up on his elbows.
"Just, can you kiss me again?"
He needn't have felt embarrassed by this request, apparently, because Draco seemed more than happy to oblige. He placed a hand on either side of Harry's hips and leaned in, dipping with lips and tongue and teeth to take his fill. Harry reached down and grabbed both of their cocks in his hand, rubbing them together, enjoying the satiny, slick skin against his own. Draco's kisses slowed, and he dropped his forehead to Harry's.
"Are we ready? Harry Long-Lasting Potter? Going to put that middle name to the test?"
Groaning, Harry kissed Draco briefly, and then pushed his shoulders up and away.
"Probably not going to live up to that name, I'm afraid."
He brought his knees up, catching each with a secure hand, presenting himself to Draco. Draco took his cock in hand, trailing pre-cum as he ran it along the sensitive skin underneath his balls, and then up and over Harry's entrance again, this time catching it on the rim. They gasped simultaneously. Draco's eyes caught his.
"Me either," he said,
before dropping his gaze to watch as he breached Harry slowly.
"What have you been hiding under those robes, Professor Malfoy?"
By Booktopus. Chapter 7. Draco had done a good job of prepping him, and the soap was definitely working as an effective lube.
It was a long, slow push in, but Draco managed to bottom out in one. He groaned and dipped his head back in pleasure.
"Fuck, Draco," Harry gasped. Draco's cock wasn't the biggest he'd ever taken, but it felt just the right size inside of him now, filling him up without being uncomfortable.
"I love the way you say my name," Draco whispered, hips beginning to find their rhythm. Draco had positioned his hips in a way that allowed him to fuck up into Harry, successfully brushing against his prostate more often than not. He'd apparently mastered the art of harder, not faster, and Harry's toes were curling after only a few minutes. They rocked against each other, Harry's cock bouncing against his stomach with each thrust. The room was quiet except for their harsh breathing and words of encouragement, the rhythmic thwack of Draco's balls bouncing on Harry's arse.
"Merlin, touch me, Draco. I'm getting close," Harry pleaded, unable to let go of his knees to stroke himself.
He watched as Draco's hand curled around his dick and began to stroke in time to the snap of his hips. Harry's eyes fluttered in pleasure.
"Merlin, yes, fuck me, please."
Draco was sweaty, his fringe plastered to his forehead. He picked up the pace ever so slightly and reached his free hand up to hook over Harry's shoulder, effectively pulling him down harder on his cock. Harry's orgasm was on him quickly as he panted out short gasps in time with each upstroke on his dick. Pleasure skittered along his skin, over his legs and down to his toes, from the pit of his stomach up to his ears.
"Fuck, Draco, I'm gonna come,"
he gasped out, just as his cock began to pulse and he lost all ability to speak. It was the hardest he'd come in a long time. He watched it erupt over Draco's hand, globs of cum milking out and pooling on his abdomen as Draco stroked him through his orgasm. Draco's breathing was growing more haggard. In the glow of his own orgasm, Draco pulled his knees closer and egged Draco on.
"Merlin, Draco, you made me come so hard. You're so fucking hot. Come for me. Come for me. Come for me."
Harry was watching in pleasure as he chanted, the continued stimulation ringing a beat in his ears. Hips stuttering, his darkened eyes rolling, Draco let loose a long, "Fuck!" and began to come. Harry's eyes were pulled away from Draco's face. The tattooed storm had been growing in intensity on Draco's shoulder as they fucked, and all of a sudden burst before Harry's eyes. As he watched the stormy clouds lit up from inside, shooting a lightning bolt branching down Draco's chest over his heart. It splintered into multiple jagged threads, metallic gold ink seeming to glow against Draco's skin. Awestruck, Harry dropped one of his knees, much to Draco's discontent, who was still pumping through the last throes of his orgasm, and reached up to touch his chest. The glow had only lasted a few seconds, but it left a shadow on Draco's skin, a ghost of what had just been there. Harry could feel Draco's heart racing beneath his fingertips. The pattern was immediately recognizable. After all, it was the same one that Harry saw in the mirror every day. The scar that started in his hairline and skittered down over his forehead and eye, the edges culminating on his cheek. He looked up to Draco, who had finally come to a stop inside of Harry. He was breathing hard, though must have seen the question in Harry's eyes.
"Give me a second, and I'll explain," Draco panted. "I didn't know that was going to happen."
He collapsed a bit on top of Harry, who had dropped his other knee and now locked both ankles behind Draco's back. They lay like that for a few moments, Harry clinging to Draco's neck, their breaths lining up and slowing together. Draco's face was tucked into Harry's neck, his breath hot against Harry's sticky skin. Had he not been basking in the glow of his orgasm, Harry's mind might have been racing a little faster. Slow as it was, though, he couldn't form any real thoughts or feelings on what had just transpired.
"I'm gonna pick you up, okay?"
Draco asked, the vibration of his words rumbling through Harry's own chest. Harry nodded his head against Draco's. It wasn't a smooth transition, but Draco managed to support Harry as he stood, his softening prick slipping out of Harry along with a stream of cum and lube. He walked them back towards the armchairs and picked up his wand, casting a cleansing spell over both of them, and a lazy transfiguration spell to turn their chairs into a couch, which he laid Harry down on before climbing on himself. They were face to face now, their legs slotted together. Harry's finger was tracing the lingering lines over Draco's heart.
"You're going to think this is weird, but just let me try and explain, okay?"
Draco said. Harry huffed. "I already know you're weird. Old news." Draco rolled his eyes with a smile.
"You marked me. That day in the bathroom, you left your mark, and I carried it with me until the scars eventually faded. But you had been there, on my skin. All along, it was like we were two sides of a coin, always circling each other but never able to meet. It felt so appropriate that it was you who changed me, even if it didn't last. I felt like a storm for the first few years after the war. I was constantly on edge, rumbling and lashing out. I didn't know who I was or what I was meant to do. I started getting tattoos, seeing a mind healer, traveling. Settled down once I got my apprenticeship, but I still had all of these feelings swirling around inside of me. The night before we were meant to begin at Hogwarts, I went to get the storm clouds. The wizard had drawn something up, and I loved it immediately. He'd captured exactly what I wanted. And then, he said, I did an alternate, in case you wanted to add to the storm. And he'd put in a lightning bolt. Not yours, of course. And I was hit with this wave, all of these memories of our past, mixing with our correspondence from that summer. Just that day, you'd asked about my chest and whether I still had scars there. You apologized. It was pretty impulsive, but I went to the stack of newspapers in the corner, and there you were, front and center. I think you'd been at a ribbon-cutting ceremony or something. The artist must have thought me mad, but I asked if he could add the lightning bolt in this shape. He traced his thumb over Harry's forehead. I've gone through bouts of regretting it, not knowing how to explain it to you, on the unlikely chance you'd ever see it. But here we are, I guess. You marked me, and I lost it. So I marked myself with you. Permanently.
Harry looked intently at Draco, his own fingers touching the matching bolt on Draco's chest. He leaned forward and kissed Draco, chaste and sweet. Pulling back, he said,
I don't think it's weird. I think it's kind of beautiful. Poetic. I've felt the same way about you for a long time. Like we were in each other's orbit. I guess I hoped we'd crash into each other at some point.
Draco blushed. His skin was already flushed pink from their satisfying fuck, but this settled in over his cheeks unmistakably.
I guess you could consider this a crash, eh?
Well, with us, I wasn't expecting it to be any less than a crash. But that doesn't mean we can't make something from the ashes.
Draco was quiet for a moment, studying Harry's features. Eloquent as ever, Potter.
He sat up abruptly. Harry went up on an elbow too as Draco stood.
Where are you going?
Draco strode over to the table laden with their food.
I don't know about you, but I'm famished, and you need to drink some water.
He brought back their sandwiches and two large glasses of water as Harry sat up. They ate companionably, side by side on the couch, nudging one another with a smile every so often. After making Harry drink down the rest of his water, Draco vanished the plates and glasses, and maneuvered them both back into a horizontal position.
What now? Harry asked.
Well, we have several more hours before we can go anywhere. Talk, snuggle, eat the copious amounts of dessert that the elves put together for you, Draco offered.
Harry pulled Draco closer, tucking his head under Draco's chin and resting his free arm over his hip, stroking the small of Draco's back.
How about you tell me about this one? He requested, using the arm trapped between them to gesture at Draco's inner forearm, the one opposite the dark mark.
It's Roman numerals, Draco said.
I see that, yes.
Do you know what they are? Draco asked, raising the arm so they could see a bit better.
Well, XXV is 25, right?
Correct. And III is 3. That one's easy. MCMXCVIII. I know the last part's an 8, and the X is a 10. Is M 100?
1,000. It's a year. The M is 1,000, and then the CM is 900. C equals 100. Then the XC is 90.
1998. March 25th, 1998.
Yes. Do you know that date?
Harry pulled back a bit so he could see Draco's face.
Not exactly, but I can guess.
Is it when we were at the manor?
It is.
Why?
Is this one also because of me?
Draco sighed and rubbed his face with his hand.
Sort of, but not really. He sighed. I was so fucking scared that day. The days were running together. Greyback terrorizing Mother and me. Nagini fucking slithering around the hallways. Voldemort.
They both shuddered at the thought.
And then the Snatchers showed up. And I knew it was you. You wouldn't have been separated from Granger, not then.
But you didn't identify me.
It was the first brave thing I ever did.
Harry pulled Draco in closer at the small of his back and kissed him.
That's certainly not true. Agree to disagree, Draco said. It was the first brave thing I ever did, and it was the beginning of my rebellion. There was little I could do from where I was. Like I said, I was fucking terrified all of the time. But anything I could do, I did. When I thought about it years later, I realized that it was the first day of the rest of my life. My path to redemption, if you will. I know that sounds cheesy, but I needed something to cling to, some reminder that there was a good person somewhere deep inside me. That I could be better. It's what kept me going some days. The tattoo was another early one, and whenever I'd have a bad day, get harassed in the street or feel like I wasn't getting anywhere in life, I'd look at it and remember.
Thanks for telling me. Harry grasped Draco's fingers and brought their joined hands up to his lips, kissing the soft underside of Draco's wrist.
Draco nodded somberly. They were quiet for a moment.
Harry had a feeling there would be more conversation about those particular tattoos in the future, but it didn't feel that there was anything more that needed to be said in that moment. Shifting the topic, he asked, "So, what happens when we break the seal on the door?"
"It'll be pretty anticlimactic, really. Once the spell shows the air is all clear, we ought to take one last shower, and then we're free to go about the rest of our evening."
"Oh," Harry said.
"I mean, we can keep spending time together, if that's what you want," Draco said, hesitantly.
Harry could feel the grin creep onto his face.
"Well, yeah, that's sort of what I was getting at. You have to come to mine at some point, anyway. You know, to charm the shower."
"Right. And to workshop your DADA class."
"Right, that too," Harry agreed. "This won't be, like, a one-time thing, though, yeah? I had a lot of fun today."
Draco leaned away from Harry.
"I thought we'd already established that we've wasted years pining away for each other unnecessarily. So, yes, I'd like to continue this, if you do. I mean, you're already basically seared onto my skin. Couldn't get rid of you if I wanted. Pest."
"I don't think that I want you to. Get rid of me, I mean. And I'm hoping to see more of you like this.
Prat."
Draco raised an eyebrow and said snottily,
"I bet you are."
Harry laughed and shoved him gently.
"Well, yes, like this. But also, you know, looser. Unbuttoned or something."
"And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you as often as I want." Draco slipped back in closer and laid a soft, sweet kiss under Harry's ear, reaching up to bite it gently.
"You really ought to go talk to Minerva, too. About the tattoos, I mean. I think she's going to love them, and I really think you owe it to yourself not to hide away so much."
Draco let out a deep sigh, his hot breath skating over the skin of Harry's neck.
"Could we not talk about the headmistress right now?"
Harry chuckled and drew Draco in closer, shifting himself onto his back. Draco adjusted them, tangling their legs, while he leaned into the back of the couch, up on an elbow. His hand laid possessively on Harry's middle. Harry shifted more onto his other side, his back now exposed to the classroom. Harry ran his fingers up and down Draco's flank, marveling at the soft skin he found there.
"You know, you could mock me, too."
He glanced up to Draco's eyes, finding a hint of surprise there.
"Mock you? Potter, are you saying that you want me to give you a hickey?"
Harry felt his cheeks grow warm.
"Not anywhere someone might see. I just, I don't know. Forget about it."
"No, no," Draco said, dipping his head to plant kisses along Harry's jawline.
"This is not something I want to forget about."
Draco shuffled down the couch a bit, kisses landing on Harry's collarbone and upper chest. Between each kiss, Draco would get a few words out.
"The thought of you walking around, with what we've been doing together seared into your skin, is so fucking hot."
At this last word, he sucked in a bit of skin next to Harry's nipple, provoking a sharp inhale.
"Draco," he breathed, "please keep going, but I don't think I have it in me for another round."
Draco looked up at him, Harry's skin still caught lightly between his lips. He let go with a pop and grinned.
"No, me neither. Does that mean I can't just enjoy touching you?"
"Oh, no, please, do go on." Harry gasped as Draco's mouth latched back onto the skin, teething and tonguing at the skin. He sucked in hard, the pain, pleasure of it all overwhelming Harry. Draco let the skin go again, laving his tongue over the spot.
"That should do nicely."
Harry looked down to see the ruddy red spot forming on his skin in the shape of Draco's mouth.
"I know they're supposed to be embarrassing, but Merlin, if I don't love the look of that."
Draco grinned, scooting himself back up the couch.
"Nothing to be embarrassed about. I'll shower you in love bites."
He laughed, dropping a kiss on Harry's nose, and then down to his lips. They settled into each other, passing a few hours in a blur of lazy kisses and indulgent conversations, finally tucking into the desserts, feeding each other bites of the sugary treats. The light coming through the full-length windows grew darker as minutes ticked by. Draco recast the spell to check the air every once in a while, and eventually it came back clear.
"Right," he said, standing up and pulling Harry to his feet. "Ready for one last shower before we head back to reality?"
Harry smiled.
"Oh, this is reality, Draco. You aren't dreaming,"
he teased as they walked towards the showers again, yelping as Draco pinched his bum. With a flick of Draco's wand, the water rained down over them again.
"Aren't I supposed to pinch you?" Harry asked. "You know, to reassure you you aren't dreaming."
Draco's stance, leaning against the wall on his forearm, the other on Harry's hip, was protecting Harry from most of the water. Streams of water rolled down his neck and over his chest, down to more tattoos that Harry had yet to explore. He leaned down and rested his forehead against Harry's.
"No reassurance needed, Potter. Even my mind wouldn't have been able to come up with something this good."
They each smiled into the next kiss, knowing that they were prepared to face whatever stood on the other side of the classroom door, together.